This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about communist violence. Pete Hegseth has a mountain to climb cleaning up the military. I think Jasmine Crockett's days are numbered in Congress. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, let's have a talk about communist violence. Why? How the media presents it, how the media encourages it, and things like that. But I'm going to do a little experiment with you first, all right? Just a little experiment. It involves no thought whatsoever, so don't worry about it. We're just going to do a first answer that pops into your head. Yes or no, okay? It's a yes or no thing. First answer that pops into your head. Let me ask you something. Do you consider Captain America, the fictional character, do you consider him to be a violent man? I ask that because most people, their first answer to that question is no. I mean, obviously, he's running and jumping and fighting and doing these things, but most people would say no. I'll tell you what, we'll come back to that, all right? There's an interview that's been making the rounds. It's about 5 years old, but it's a very, very revealing interview. AOC, that loser congresswoman from the Bronx, is sitting down with Megan Rapinoe, the crazy feminist lesbian soccer player. They're all sitting around having a lovely little chat about how America's burning and crumbling. And there's a moment in this I thought I would bring up for the purpose of our conversation. Here it was.
Perhaps we are in the downfall of the broken way. This was not built to last. Inequity, injustice is not built to last. It lasts a long time. It could last hundreds of years, but ultimately it crumbles into this, you know, a small cohort of incompetent people that create damage. And from that, something new can spring. And so maybe something is declining right now, but maybe it deserves to decline.
Pretty revealing little moment. Maybe you haven't seen that clip before. But I want to just point out again, like I mentioned before, you see that? When AOC described everything crumbling down, everything you love, everything around you, she got that look. Well, you're looking at it right now on the screen. That look that everyone knows. What is that look? That is a look of satisfaction. A job well done. I made the comparison when I pull a brisket off of the smoker. If I've done it perfectly, and I know it, that is the exact look I get on my face. I did it. Job well done. Communists are violent by their very nature because their religion is a religion of destruction. Always. There's no end to the destruction either. Communists will try to sell you on their communism by always promising that they will build something new and lovely on the back end, of course. And in a while, we're going to build something new. Of course, that never, ever comes, though. It's just destroy everything all the time. And this could be so hard for decent, good people to understand because they can't relate in any way to that way of thinking. Who wants to burn down everything? I'll have people ask me questions about the various things, former things that were good that communists have taken over, like the Boy Scouts. You know, the Boy Scouts. And now it's for women of infant and people. Jesse, why would they come for the Boy Scouts? They come for everything. Everything. The communist looks around and he sees things to destroy that you don't even notice. Things that you don't even notice. He looks and he sees, oh, I bet I could burn that down. That's how he thinks. It's very, very difficult for normal people to understand that. And because that's how he thinks, because the goal is the destruction of everything, he is violent by necessity, because there is no nonviolent way to destroy things. It doesn't matter what it is. This piece of paper right here. If I want to destroy this piece of paper, how would I do it? Maybe I would have to light it on fire. Maybe I could tear it up into little bitty bits. But there's no nonviolent way to do it. I can't sit and pray for it. I can't wish it to go away. I can't. If I want to destroy this piece of paper, I must commit acts of violence to destroy the piece of paper. And that's why the American Democrat speaks about violence and talks about violence and thinks about violence in a way that is just, well, that's how it has to be. I asked you the question about Captain America because this is my point. Most people, and I've done this 10 times in the last day as an experiment, and 10 out of 10 said no. Most people say no, Captain America isn't violent. But why do you consider him nonviolent? I've personally watched in the movies and read in comic books, I've watched this guy beat up and kill God knows how many people, aliens, enemies, Nazis, whatever. By any measure, if you actually thought about it, you would say that's a violent man, but you don't consider him violent because he's committing acts of violence for the good guys and against the bad guys. That's why you consider him nonviolent. That's why the left loves this Luigi guy. You remember United Healthcare Insurance Company, their CEO, a father of two. A father of two little children. He was murdered by this vicious communist named Luigi. And something has happened since then. Luigi's gotten popular, quite famous. Women send him love letters. The left can't really bring themselves to outright condemn what he did. And even if they do, it's something along the lines of, well, I mean, yeah, it's not good to kill somebody, but, you know, if it... I thought this little interview with Taylor Lorenz on CNN was pretty revealing.
So you're going to see women especially that feel like, oh my God, right? Like, here's this man who's revolutionary, who's famous, who's handsome, who's young, who's smart. He's a... person that seems this like this morally good man, which is hard to find. They want somebody to take on the system. They want somebody to tear down these barbaric establishment institutions.
Hey, seems like a good dude. And I mean, yeah, I don't condone what he did, but he seems like a good dude. And I mean, someone had to step in. After all, it's the forces of evil. Captain America isn't violent. He's fighting for the good guys. He's got to beat up some Nazis when you're fighting good guys. And this isn't unique to Taylor Lorenz or CNN. We'll get back to them in a moment. This is how American communists, American Democrats, this is how the majority of them think. Even the average, normal, run-of-the-mill Democrat, that Democrat in your family, in your workplace, at some level believes in violence. Look back. See what they were saying about masking, vaccinations. I remember like it was yesterday, poll after poll came out showing Democrats, half the majority of them, wanted you thrown in a quarantine camp. They wanted government agents showing up at your home, throwing you in the back of a paddy wagon and hauling you off to a concentration camp if you didn't do what you're told. And of course, they would have been standing behind the truck waving at you, feeling 100% certain that they're the good guys as you went off to camp. Communists are all violent. It is a violent, demonic religion of destruction and domination. And I wanted to have this talk with you because there is something happening right now. It's very, very, very obvious. I don't know if you saw that story in Wisconsin, teenager, murdered his parents. I'm sure you saw the vandalism of Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania's home. We'll get to that in a moment as well. Obviously, you know about the Luigi story. You know about the two assassination attempts of Donald Trump. You know about the... So I'm here to tell you this. This is really the point of all this. Communist violence is now increasing and it will continue to increase in the coming days and months. They feel as if they don't have the presidency. They feel as if Trump is attacking their base, their financial base, their base of support in his efforts to clean out the government. They feel uniquely attacked. Therefore, they feel uniquely warranted in committing acts of violence against you and people on the right. And as the violence of communism increases, you will see our very evil media, our evil system. You will see something. In fact, it's already happening. They're laying it out in front of you. As communist violence rises, it gets worse and worse and worse, and people die and they're hurt and they're vandalized, and they die and they're hurt and they're vandalized. As violent communism rises, the media knows it can't cover it up. The American media doesn't have that kind of control anymore to completely ignore it or completely cover it up. You can see it. You have eyes, you have ears. Everyone can see the Teslas burning, the swastikas being carved into things. Everyone knows what's happening. So what can the media do? If they can't keep it from your eyes, if they can't hide it from you, what do you do? Well, it's quite simple, really. There's only one thing you can do. Act like it's everybody, you see. It's everybody. Don't you do this? Haven't you ever done this with your wife or your husband or your girlfriend, boyfriend, when you're having a fight? Maybe you have a big old knockdown, drag-out fight, and maybe it's your fault. And at some point, maybe right away, maybe you realize it's your fault. What's the end goal of that fight? If it's your fault, yet you're in fight mode? Oh, hey, we both said some things we regret. All right, we both did some things wrong. If it's all your fault, what you do is you grab the innocent party and you lump them in with you. We all made mistakes here. Here's CNN.
What we're looking at here is obviously, you know, when it comes to extremism in this country, I mean, the issue very much so is on the right, on the far right, from, you know, from Charlottesville to January 6th. There isn't exactly an equivalent on the left in this moment.
Hey, it's the right. I mean, look, some things on the left, but January 6th, of course. And look, Governor Shapiro had his home torched by an arsonist. We all know what was going on. We all know exactly what was going on. And he knows, too. He's no dummy, but he's a Democrat. He has to play that middle-of-the-road role in Pennsylvania, but he's a Democrat. And so he couldn't get up and say, hey, I know it was you, leftists. I know it was you. I know it was one of you Hamas lovers. I know he couldn't get up and say that. He had to do the kind of all of us thing.
This type of violence is not okay. This kind of violence is becoming far too common in our society. And I don't give a damn if it's coming from one particular side or the other. Directed at one particular party or another, or one particular person or another. It is not okay. And it has to stop.
What a benign, completely useless statement. And that's what it's designed to be, you see. It's not okay, and it's everybody. Both sides are doing it. It's definitely just not one side. It's both sides, and it's not okay. He knows exactly where it's coming from. He knows exactly why. But he also knows this. And this is the hard part. This is hard for you. It's hard for me. It's hard for the country. You can't get violence out of the communist. It's their religion. You can't get it out of them. You can't ever, it doesn't matter what you do. You could give them all the power in the world. They'll just create concentration camps and slaughter millions of you. If you take away all their power, they'll just find little street mobs to murder this person and burn this thing down. You can't get it out of them. Communism is violence is not what communists do. It's who they are. It is woven into their religion. Because again, I can't destroy this piece of paper in a nonviolent way. When your religion tells you to destroy everything, you will inherently be violent. Post his address. Someone post this guy's address. How many times have you seen some Democrat, maybe someone you know, say that online? violence. They can't help themselves. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have an incredible show for you here. Pete Hegseth has a lot of work ahead of him in the military. I don't know if 4 years is long enough. We'll talk about that in a moment. I bet you Pete's on chalk, though. I bet you Pete's T levels are through the roof. They have to be. You see him bouncing all over the place. He's all over the globe. He's having to relieve this person of command and do this. And only somebody taking natural herbal supplements from chalk has that kind of energy. You see, chalk will have your testosterone levels up 20% in 90 days. 20% in 90 days. You might not even feel like the same person in 2 or 3 months. Just gonna always be full of pep and ready to go like you just had an afternoon cup of coffee, only you didn't. You just feel good. You want a big fat discount on a subscription? Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. All right, let's talk about, well, it's going to be about the military, but it's about the communist purge here for a couple moments. Remember this. Remember, as we just talked about in the opening, these people are out to destroy, and they will destroy everything if they can. And they will most definitely destroy wherever they are. That's just how it works. If you bring a communist into your church will be destroyed by it. If you're bringing it into your business, your business will be destroyed by it because they will eat everything in front of them. They're like animals, really. That's really how you can really think about communists. And now let's talk about our military, you see. Because don't think for 1 second they drop the communist uniform when they put on the uniform of the United States of America. Not at all. They view their role everywhere, wherever they are. They view their role as fighting for the revolution. And don't think that that changed when Donald Trump took over. And my point for this little talk we're about to have is that Pete Hegseth, who's doing a very good job, he will need all 4 years, and he will need to be vicious. Remember when J.D. Vance traveled to Greenland and said this?
What we think is going to happen is that the Greenlanders are going to choose through self-determination to become independent of Denmark, and then we're going to have conversations with the people of Greenland from there. So I think that talking about anything too far in the future is way too premature. We do not think that military force is ever going to be necessary. We think this makes sense. And because we think the people of Greenland are rational and good, we think we're going to be able to cut a deal, Donald Trump style, to ensure the security of this territory, but also the United States of America.
Okay. You might disagree with that, but it's certainly nothing radical or insane. Yeah, the Space Force commander on the ground, Susanna Myers. This is the email she sent out. Now remember, these people are all above her in the chain of command. Do you think Susanna Myers set aside her communism because she put on the uniform and achieved the rank of colonel? Quote, I do not presume to understand the current politics, but what I do know is the concerns of the U.S. administration discussed by Vice President Vance on Friday are not reflective of space. She just flat out came out and said, I don't care what J.D. Vance said. That's not my agenda. That's not what we believe here. They can't help themselves. Susanna Chatfield, Vice Admiral, that's a big boy position in the United States Navy. She had to be purged last week. She used to give speeches like this.
And we've also heard about the meaningful participation of women in the security and defense sectors. We have learned about the importance of gender-inclusive approaches. We will be left with a professional military ready to get after the needs of the nation with highly talented, diverse, and capable people before us, beside us, and behind us. And I would say that this is exactly what the Women, Peace, and Security agenda seeks to achieve.
My point in this is not that we got a couple out. My point is, American communists have been embedding these little tumors inside of our government at every level, including the military, for years. Barack Obama is really the one who turned this into overdrive. So when you think about that, Barack Obama, 2008 to 2016, Then we get a little brief four-year reprieve. Donald Trump didn't remove them the first time. Then Joe Biden came in, did this again in overdrive. We now have 12 years of focused communist effort putting these little cancers in every single nook and cranny. We have so much work to do. Remember Linda Fagan?
We currently have nearly 40% women enrolled at the Coast Guard Academy. I'm really excited about the talent and the diversity that I see coming coming through the academy. My daughter is in the Coast Guard as a lieutenant, and there is just nothing but opportunity for her and all of the men and women that have joined the service. I'm really excited about the future as we look ahead.
There's a lot of Faggins we have to get rid of. Let's hope we're up to the task. All right, we're moving on. Let's talk about the budget process, shall we? Before we get to the budget, let's talk about your cell phone. Look, you shouldn't have Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Do you think the little cancers are just in the military? You think it's just the Faggins in the military? You think Verizon doesn't have a Faggin? Think AT&T, T-Mobile, they got Faggins everywhere. You need to switch. Stop paying those prices. Stop paying these companies to dump all over your culture. Pure Talk is pro-America. Their CEO is a veteran. They fought for the United States of America and still does because he still hires Americans to this day. Nobody does that anymore. Pure Talk does. Switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Last week, the House approved a budget framework. But framework and an actual budget are two different things. I am curious what exactly is in it. Freedom Caucus supported it. Most of the House did. Thomas Massey, Victoria Sparks did not, but most of the House did. What's in this daggone thing? Joining me now, one of the good ones, Scott Perry, Republican state of Pennsylvania, and the former chairman of the Freedom Caucus. Okay, Congressman, what's in this budget?
Well, Jesse, the House budget is actually not terrible. It's not great. It's not even good, but it's not terrible. The Senate budget is basically a framework that says we can continue to steal unless we don't steal. The problem is and was is that the Senate refuses to move forward until we pass their language so that we can start the conversation. Of course, we don't like that. The House, you know, the House hemmed itself in. The House said, we're not going to spend this money without getting cuts for it, right? Because we don't have extra money. We're actually broke. So we're not going to do more tax cuts. We're not going to do more border spending. We're not going to do more military spending. Although all that stuff is worthy and needs to be addressed. But you've got to cut stuff if you're going to spend money on that stuff, because the money going out is more than the money going in. And so the House wrote the bill so that we can't have the tax cuts, we can't have the border money, and we can't have the military money unless we cut the spending. The Senate said it was unable to do that because of the Byrd rule and their kooky language over there and whatever. And they said they could not do that, but the only thing they could do is go out in public and say that they agreed with our numbers and they were gonna try and reach them. That's the best we could get them. And quite honestly, the White House, that's the best position we could get them to.
Okay, so you don't sound that hopeful that you're about to have an agreement. It certainly doesn't sound like it from the tone of your voice here, or it doesn't sound like we're going to have one by close of business today.
Well, I don't think we're going to have one by close of business today for sure. Look, Jesse, here's the thing about Washington, D.C. Nobody there is interested in doing math, and no one there has forced these people to do arithmetic in decades. And the Freedom Caucus is essentially forcing them to. And, you know, we didn't agree with the one big, beautiful bill strategy because that put us right where we are now. And the concern is that the Senate is going to convince the president that you got to have the debt ceiling increase. You got to have the tax cuts made permanent. And by the way, most Freedom Caucus members, even though we don't love the debt ceiling increase, we get it. So we understand that. The problem is the Senate's probably going to convince, and many House members are going to try and convince the president that we don't have to cut anything. Or we, if we do cut something, it's not going to be much. Remember, Jesse, in the Senate bill, they cut 20 minutes of spending, $4 billion. That's 20 minutes. $4 billion over 10 years. All right? So our starting point in the House was $1.5 trillion over 10 years. So that was our starting point. We want to get to like $2.5 trillion to show the bond market that we're serious about not bankrupting the country. But there's a lot of people in the House and the Senate that don't want to cut anything, want to have tax cuts, want to spend more money on the border, want to spend more money on the military, want to spend more money on state and local taxes. They want to spend money on that, but they don't want to reduce spending on anything. And that creates deficits. And we don't think that this president or the American people should have to suffer through more deficits and more high prices at the grocery store, at the lumber yard, or at the gas pump.
Okay. Can you tell me where the White House sits on the House bill, Senate bill specifically? And I asked the question in this way. I have been aware of the closed-door meetings that Trump has allegedly had with senators talking about how he wants to rein in the deficit, how he wants to cut spending. He's talked about it in speeches. Well, the opportunity is here. Which way is the White House pushing?
Well, the White House is pushing to cut spending, and the White House is pushing to balance the budget, which we love, which I personally love. But when you get down to the numbers, the brass tacks, when you get down to picking and choosing how many dollars for this and how many not for that, that's where everybody gets kind of weak and doesn't really want to discuss it. See, these are, a lot of this is theater, but we have to be able to do elementary school mathematics here. And that scares a heck of a lot of people, no matter if you're at the White House, whether you're at the Senate, or whether you're in the House. That scares people.
Okay, let's switch up and talk about the SAVE Act, which did pass the House. What is it, and is it going to pass the Senate?
Well, it's not going to pass the Senate because there are Democrats over there and they need 60 to pass anything. The SAVE Act enforces or forces states to enforce the fact that only American citizens can vote in federal elections. Of course, Jesse, you already know it's illegal to vote in an election if you are here illegally, but no one enforces it. So it's like having a speed limit without any police. And so the SAVE Act says, oh, actually, you're going to enforce it. So we passed it out of the House. Likely the only way it's going to pass in the Senate is if we can hook it onto this reconciliation. And once that train's rolling, then we only need Republican senators to vote for it. And hopefully we can get that put into law. But if we got to depend on Democrats, I can't imagine one that's actually going to vote for it because, as you know, they're for illegals voting. That's why they brought them here in the first place.
Oh, it's so refreshing to hear people in the House talk like this. Let's talk about real ID, because that's obviously making some headlines right now. Here was Kristi Noem talking about it.
You've had quite a bit of discussion on real ID and its implementation here in the country. And the reason that real ID is being enforced is because it's a federal law. Joe Biden kicked the can to May 7th. And this real ID is going to just empower the states to make sure we're checking people's residences. Their current legal status will be verified. We're going to make sure that people who are getting Social Security numbers in this country aren't voting in states. The states have the power and the information to ensure election integrity. And here at the federal level, that information is not going to be any biometric information. It'll just allow people to get an ID that they should be on our planes. They should be people that are United States residencies, and that legal status will be checked. So it'll allow us to get more information to states so that they're making sure that they're protecting their election laws as well. So
what should I feel about this?
Well, Jesse, when I was a state legislator, I voted against this because I kind of just had this premonition that it was going to be used to prevail on and disenfranchise American citizens, and it wouldn't be used to deal with people here illegally. And of course, over the course of time, that's what has happened, right? I had to get a real ID if I want to vote in Pennsylvania soon, if I want to get on an airplane and I don't have a passport. So they get all my information. Meanwhile, people that come here illegally are using their arrest documents to get on a plane, and no one checks their status for voting. So look, the concept of having a list of American citizens and and making sure that only those people on that list as citizens can vote. That's a good concept. I support that. Unfortunately, left to the states, I live in Pennsylvania. Our governor is not interested in having only citizens vote. They love the fact that anybody can come here, get a driver's license, get a work permit. And by the way, when they ask you if you want a driver's license, they ask you to register to vote. They don't ask you your citizenship. So I'm very, very skeptical.
Yeah, I'm very skeptical myself. Speaking of your governor, your state, his home was torched, which was freaking awful. But I did see that he got up and he gave a speech, the same speech I see a lot on the news anymore, Congressman, about how it's both sides. We got to stop this violence. I don't care which side. It's not both sides. The communists in this country have been committing acts of violence for years and years and years now. It's ramping up. It's obvious to everybody with two eyes. And yet now we're supposed to pretend like, well, we're all kind of guilty of the whole thing. I find it ridiculous.
Yeah, look, what happened to the governor and his home is it's unacceptable. It's terrible. We're happy that he and his family is safe. Firebombed in the middle of the night, set on fire, I guess, with Molotov cocktails by, I think, as I understand it, a socialist who is an anti-Semitic person. Of course, our governor is Jewish, but you're absolutely right, Jesse. Yeah. This is the left. This is what the left always does. The violence is always on the left, and it has been for decades, if not centuries. And they always act like both sides are engaged in it. Both sides are not engaged in it. We're looking at this recent plan to execute and assassinate President Trump. It's another lefty. It's always on the left.
Yeah, no, it is. Before I let you go, I did want to take a moment and congratulate you because there is an amazing football team from an amazing university in Washington, D.C. celebrating a wonderful national championship today. I'm sure this is a wonderful moment for you, is it not?
Well, I'm a Penn Stater, so no, it's not the greatest moment. But I appreciate the shout out. Look, if you're talking about championships, I'm going to go to the NCAA Wrestling Championships and the dominance of the dynasty of Penn State. Thank you very much, Jesse Kelly.
Do you know what? I have to give you that one. Congressman, thank you as always, sir. I appreciate you. All right. Jasmine Crockett. I think she's in trouble. I think she's in bad trouble. I'll get to that in a moment with Stephen Gardner. Before I get to that, I want to talk to you about sleeping well. Oh, man, did I sleep so good last night. Went over to my mom's house last night as a fam. We had some Kraft mac and cheese, not to brag, a little bit of meat. And then I got home 9 o'clock and I was tired, but I wanted to make sure I was ready for Monday to bring you a wonderful show. So I went and made myself a little cup of hot chocolate before bed, special hot chocolate, dream powder from Bean. You see, my hot chocolate is chocolate cinnamon, it's delicious. But it's got all these natural things in it, like melatonin and reishi and all these other things. And about a half hour after I sipped it, I was out like a light. 9 hours. Woke up this morning feeling good. You want to sleep like that every night? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Got to do better to connect the dots and let people know the reason you can't afford a home is because of these failed immigration policies. The reason you're not going to be able to afford your food is because of these failed immigration policies. And the same can go for the hospitality industries, where we have so many of those in the hospitality industry that are saying they do not have the workers that they need right now.
I'm going to tell you something before we bring in Stephen Gardner. I can smell it coming. I've smelled it coming before. Jasmine Crockett's days in Congress are numbered. I'm telling you. I told you. We've talked about this many times. Street communists and elite communists are two separate things. And you can move from being a street to being an elite. But what you are never, ever, ever allowed to do is cause trouble for the elite communists. You cause too much trouble, back to the streets you go. Ask Jamal Bowman. Ask Cori Bush. Why do you think AOC is such a good little girl now? Joining me now, Stephen Gardner. You can find his amazing videos. They're really well done at YouTube. Stephen Gardner 1 on YouTube. Stephen, my understanding is that Jasmine Crockett's already under investigation.
She is, yeah. It turns out she's been taking money through Act Blue, which is about to be heavily investigated for money laundering, for bringing foreign money into American elections. I think the days of Jasmine Crockett, as you say, are numbered.
Okay, I need you to expand on Act Blue for all the normies out there watching who don't understand this organization. I'm old enough to remember Hurricane Harvey here in Houston when they were soliciting donations and all of it went to Act Blue. It didn't go to hurricane people at all. This has been a scummy organization for a while. Tell me about it.
So Act Blue is the number one mechanism for the Democrat Party to raise money. It's now under suspicion of bringing foreign dollars into American elections. Remember those fires that happened under Gavin Newsom's watch not long ago? Well, you had people like Elizabeth Warren who said, go donate money. It went through Act Blue. You had Black Lives Matter donate money. It went through Act Blue. Mark Kelly of Arizona, it went through Act Blue. On and on and on. So James O'Keefe from O'Keefe Media Group, he's been doing a lot of street work to go to Act Blue, ask them questions. He's been knocking doors on these Democrat donors. Some of them, many of them, are senior citizens that are having their identity stolen, and they are funneling 50, 100, 1,000 donations through an 80-year-old grandma in Louisiana that somehow magically donates $36,000, yet her annual income for the year is only $12,000. So Act Blue has been, again, the number one fundraising arm for the Democrat Party, but I believe it's a total scam, and I believe that Congress immediately needs to investigate Act Blue.
Okay, a couple things I need clarification on. Is this a 501c3, meaning is this a profit? Is it a charity is what people would know it as? That's one. Two, if they're funneling, because I've heard these tales before, cash through some little old lady who makes $36,000 a year, where's the cash originating?
So they're going to have to follow that money back. My understanding, though, is, you know, if you knock on somebody's door, and they say, yeah, I didn't make these 55 donations totaling $36,000. There's a money trail. There has to be a money trail. So why isn't Congress immediately acting on this? This is one of my beef with the Republican Party, is you literally have what appears to be a smoking gun. And what do? They sit on their thumbs. So yes, this is a mechanism for raising money. But all money has a money trail. It's the easiest way to catch people in a crime, but they've got to actually do the legwork. So should they release DOGE on this? Most likely. Should they have a congressional hearing on this? Absolutely. Will they? I couldn't tell you that.
Speaking of DOGE, Elon Musk was out there saying this.
We anticipate savings in FY26 from reduction of waste and fraud by $150 billion. And some of it is just absurd, like people getting unemployment insurance who haven't been born yet. I mean, I think anyone can appreciate whether, I mean, come on, that's just crazy. You know, some of these things, if people ask me, like, well, how are you going to find waste and fraud in the government? I'm like, well, actually just go in any direction. That's how you find it. It's very common. it's as the military would say, target-rich environment.
I hate the term waste and fraud, to be honest, Stephen, and it's not that there's not tons of waste. This government, of course, there is, but this is theft. When you have theft at this level, I feel like you're putting a smiling face on it, calling it waste and fraud. We've been robbed.
Absolutely. I believe that we've been robbed. They're using our tax dollars against us. We found from the DOGE investigations that many of these charities were fake, these NGOs were fake. They've hijacked Christian churches like the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church in order to invade the United States of America using our own money against us. So is DOGE doing a great job? Yes. Unfortunately, Congress is going to continue to spend more because they're addicted to spending other people's money. But what they're really exposing is if nobody is paying attention and nobody cares, you can steal an awful lot of money from the American people. and these NGOs. I mean, look at George Soros, for example. The guy puts in $1 billion, creates a fake charity, and then he gets some Democrat in Washington, D.C. to put up billions of dollars through USAID. Then what does he do? He floods the country with illegal immigrants. Now the taxpayer is on the hook for all of the safety net programs. Then you find out that they're putting them into Social Security. They're getting them ID cards. Now they're voting in elections. It's just a giant circle jerk, and the American people are the losers. But I have hope. I'm not trying to black pill anybody. I have a lot of hope that good things are going to come out of this. But man, does President Trump and Congress have a giant uphill battle.
Speaking of uphill battle, Trump is trying to realign the world economically right now with his fair trade tariff stuff. Talk about it.
So I think what he's doing is absolutely brilliant. What he's trying to do is, you know, Congress blocked him from building a wall on the southern border. We all see how that would have helped with all the illegal immigration. But what he's doing right now is, I believe President Trump has realized one of the greatest assets on planet Earth is the collective spending power of the American people. Nobody spends money like Americans. And so if you want to do business in the United States of America, there's going to be a tariff. Or if you want to avoid that tariff, you've just got to bring jobs and your company here. What has happened? Nearly $4 trillion in committed investment. Companies all over the world bringing jobs back. Apple, NVIDIA, pumping hundreds of billions of dollars in. We're talking hundreds of thousands of good-paying jobs. So what happened under these globalists, under people in the 90s, is they said, wait a minute, you can go to China and other parts of the world, and you can run your business for cheaper, or you can expand to a foreign market. But then the door was left open where they could come back in and compete with America. And so then all of a sudden you have jobs going away. Wages are not keeping up with inflation. So I believe what the tariffs are going to do is not only level the playing field, but it's going to bring even more money and better jobs back to America. I mean, we're already seeing this. Look at the United Auto Workers. They're singing Trump's praises. The coal industry singing Trump's praises. The oil industry singing Trump's praises. The chips makers, they're all coming back to America. So I think that this is going to be huge. I think it's a long game. I don't think Trump's worried about the stock market. He's going to let the stock market take care of itself. But I think the tariffs in the end are going to be a very, very brilliant move.
Stephen, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right. We have Late in the Mood next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And today, it's just the play pretend make-believe society we live in just blows me away. They loaded Katy Perry and Jeff Bezos' wife and some other annoying chicks onto some spaceship, and they flew them out into outer space for 11 minutes, and then they flew them back after their little journey out there. And well, here it was.
Parachutes deploy from the crew capsule. Those are like the guide parachutes. There go the drogue parachutes. Just free falling right there until those drogues came out. And then next will be the main parachutes that get pulled out.
Hear that screaming inside the capsule?
Perception. There it is.
Katie!
Woo! You gotta trust in yourself on this journey, and then you're feeling the love when you come down, for sure, and you're feeling that strength. So I feel really connected to that strong, divine feminine right now.
So explain to our audience why even a trip like this one, all the trips that we take in this space, benefit mankind.
So it benefits humankind, and I'm going to keep correcting
mankind,
the man-made and the man missions, because this is exactly what this mission is about, is expanding the perspective of who does space.
I feel like J. you ever see that movie, What About Bob? When he was scared of the water and boats, and they strapped him to the mast of the sailboat. They, like, tied him up so he couldn't move. And then they asked him later how he did, and he's like, well, my trick is I let the boat do all the work. That's them. They did What About Bob? Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.